Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for broadcasting this show with Win Free in Sedona and Terry Brown in Sedona. They are actually still traveling, I think, currently. This is a Monday evening episode, 1 hour with random topics. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. So every time you hear a ding that somebody else joining in, we had a few dings. Welcome to you, folks. Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location.
Hi, is this Jeannie in Citrus Heights?
Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi, is it Prudy in Asheville?
And welcome to you, Prudy.
Thank you.
Hi, Prudy.
Hello.
All right. Anyone else? All right. And welcome to all those that are listening in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And as we do every evening, our whole planet healing call at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is right after this 1 hour show. The whole planet healing gathering can only be participated with by phone. So you can either find the information online at wholeplanethealing.com. And I can also give you now the phone number, which is 712-770-4340, with the access code of 250-513. Welcome to the next caller over here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And I give the phone number one more time, 712-770-4340, and the access code of 250-513-pound. Whole Planet Healing, 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 days a week. With Prudy as our greeter, who is here with us. Thank you so much for doing this project, Prudy.
Oh, you're welcome. Am I greeting tonight?
I'm talking about the whole planet healing.
Oh, I thought you were dropping a big hint. Okay.
Feel free to greet.
Oh no, that's okay. You're good.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, Jason, Prudy, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don.
Hi,
everybody.
And hello to all those listening in through PBS Radio.
Hi, what's your study?
Well, let me first welcome the next caller. Good evening. Please say name and location.
Good evening. This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry from Dallas. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Terry.
All right.
Hi.
And the next caller, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you, Heis.
Thanks for being here.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, hello.
I'm sorry, Dawn, what did you say?
I was asking what your daughter is going to study at college.
Okay, she wants to become she wants to do social work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's a service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wanderer Gene was passed on.
Another wanderer hits the ground.
Maybe so. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger.
Thank you, Heist.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Hit the ground wandering.
Welcome to the conference call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hello, Janine. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
And welcome to those listening in through PBS Radio. Good evening to you. We wait for our host, Wynn, and co-host Teddy to present themselves, which will happen hopefully shortly. All right. Rudy.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to give Vin a call? Or I can call him
sure.
if you agree?
I'll call him right now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you.
Are they driving back to Sedona, do you know?
I think so, yes. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say a name and location.
Positive greetings. Hi from Sedona.
Welcome, Raiden.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you. Well, thank you
Hi,
for
Raiden.
Being here.
Hi, Raiden. Hi, Dan.
All right.
Raiden,
and somebody else joined in?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shirley from Ohio.
Hi, Shirley. Good evening.
Shirley.
Hi, sir.
All right. So, Prudy, are you back yet?
Yes, I am back, and it looks like he's on the road. I received a text a little earlier from him, so why don't you play a replay?
I have on the ready. This is from exactly, let's see, 2013. That is exactly 6 years ago, May 13th.
Okay. I have not heard back from him, so I'm assuming.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you all for being here. I'm going to let me get the recorder going.
This conference is being recorded.
Today's date is 5/13/2019, and we're going to play a recording from 5/13/13.
Wow. I think it'll be better now because I just muted the Skype line. Okay, it was on in the background. This is Winfrey. This is May 13th.
I'm going to back it.
2013.
Fast forward.
I was about to say 1913. Okay.
Time.
May 13th, 2013. And in Sedona with Terry Brown.
Here we go.
It creates a certain energy of comfortability where sometimes people come on the calls because they just want to tell everybody what they do. And then they're gone, and they want to sell something, or they want followers, or they want a channel, and that's not really what this call is about. It's particularly about the work that we do in communicating with other dimensions and bringing in these sources that I believe have been group souls that throughout the history of mankind were creating spiritual movements when they talked to people, and that they're present on this line right now. They say, or here's what they say: they're paying attention to you right now, not later, right now. And if you start feeling energies, don't be scared; they won't intrude on you. They'll go away if you don't like it. But usually it's a very loving feeling. We have so many emails from people who come into our calls and experience their depression going away, sometimes a healing. I don't like to do healings publicly or talk about health issues because, for me, some people get healings and some people don't. And you know, I don't have to talk about it. The energy is on the call, and you have the opportunity to access healing energy on this call. And sometimes something is not meant to go away. It's not for the highest good. And I don't understand all the ramifications, except that there have been enough incidents where it's happened that I know there's something phenomenological going on here that doesn't follow the normal laws of the physical universe. But it's something for you to discover, not for me to tell you to believe. I can tell you what my experience is. But each person is in their own process of discovery, of self-unfoldment. And in discovery and self-unfoldment, it doesn't have to do with what you believe. That is, in my opinion, a mistake that many people make in this realm. They think, well, if I believe in Jesus, I'll be saved, but if I believe in Allah, I won't, or I better read the Bible because the Bible says this, or I better read this yoga journal because it says this. And we adopt beliefs in our mind, and we believe, if we believe those certain things, that our lives will get better, and we will have God's favor. That's what we think. And that is not the way that I'm getting that it works. And so I tell people that are coming into this call, no matter what I say, don't believe me. Test me out. Read our materials. Go through our archives. We have hundreds of calls in our archives. And these calls have energy on them. And if you didn't experience it, then go to the archive and listen until you do, and if you do. And if you don't, then you can look for something else to work with you. They were not the only people bringing spiritual enlightenment or spiritual unfoldment to the forefront on this planet. But we're probably one of the few people that has developed this way of doing it on the internet and on telephone calls live without charging any money. Like, oftentimes we create what is a sacred space, and in the past history epic of humans, sacred spaces were created in private, sacred and secret. Or that's the combination of the two words. So people would gather and bring in energies where they could feel the energies in private situations where other people couldn't make fun of them, where they could feel free and open, and these energies would come in and they would experience it. Now, luckily for us, if there's people that want to make fun of us, we just push star six and they go away. We can, even though we're doing this publicly, and when I say make fun of us, it's been very rare that people have made fun of us. Sometimes people just go away. They think it's not for them. But I'm very respectful of everyone's personal experience, and everyone at their own level of discovery. And this is just here to see if it's something you can use. Now, let me see. And by the way, I'll introduce Terry Brown. Terry Brown is my dear associate, friend forever. And Terry, somewhere along the road, became a voice, or a voice started speaking to her. It said it was the Council of Elohim, and the Council of Elohim were a intelligence that started saying they created the physical universe, and started saying that that was the name for God in the Old Testament and the Book of Mormon. And on many of these calls, we have conversations with them. They talk to us, and they talk to us more like they're our friends than they're something to worship. And I just thought I'd introduce Terry. Are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Anything you'd like to say? Terry used to be very shy. Now?
Now Terry is still very shy.
Okay.
I'd just like to welcome everybody out there, and it's really a good feeling of community with all the people coming on the line, and it's the people that come into this line, they have very good vibration in general, and they're generally more interested in the people around them and their communities and that things in their communities and society go right.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I need my phone.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. And let's see if Michael's on the line now that I've built him up. Michael, can we hear a star six? Hello, Michael.
Hello, it's Michael.
Michael, we hear you. Well, thank you for agreeing to come in and talk to us today. And Michael, I have no idea what I'm going to ask, and neither do I.
Okay.
So we're even. But let me start out by saying, when did you discover us? Michael, what city are you in, first of all?
I beg your pardon?
What city are you in?
I'm in Water Lake, New York.
Water Lake, New York? Is that in
Water
Northern New York? Water Lily. Water Lily?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Lily, yes.
Is that near New York City? Is that in the Catskills? Is that in Northern New York?
It's by Albany, by about across the river from Troy. And six miles from Albany.
All right. And how long have you lived there?
Well, I was asked to come here and live with a friend of mine who had gotten married and was in her first pregnancy. And that was about 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She needed someone because they had purchased a house. And she knew she could trust me from prior experience. So that would help her with the children.
And when you started coming into your calls, what did you feel when you first started?
Coming into these calls?
These calls, yeah.
I was happy because a lot of what y'all were discussing was things that I had hoped that would be there, especially with the Edgar Casey brought in. I had experience being in the beginning, waking up inadvertently from time during the week over and over for up till I was 12 or such, and I would be on a flying saucer. I was a female, and I wore a kind of golden scaly outfit that was skin tight but was not my skin, and it was kind of like what they created for that movie about that spider-like creature. You know, one person is all it takes to fly it, and I was seeing these worlds coming hurling at each other, and they crashed. And then there was only darkness, and I just recall that experience because I felt it deep, like many people felt the towers when they crashed or were blown apart or whatever. So it's kind of like I set my goal to Earth, walk to the back where these coffin-like things that you get into and they close up. And you set your course there, and then you're going to sleep. And when I woke up, I was on Earth. And it came from within that I knew certain things that would get me to what I required. And I realized that I had volunteered for something, and that I was now here, and that in time I would know what I volunteered for. So that was where I thought I'd better not volunteer anymore. The experience, I wrote it down. It's like when you come in, it's not what you were going some around looking at things that you were going to experience when you're being born. And I came through, and I felt pain and such, and the brightness of light was there. And all I could think of was, I'm in the wrong womb.
Muted.
This isn't what I'm supposed to be. And I've been searching for love throughout that time.
How long ago was that?
When I was born, just short of 68 by 1 month.
Not when you were born, when you had that experience in a UFO.
I've had it since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, I was 12.
You said you had a scaly suit. You think you were in a reptilian UFO? For those of you that aren't aware of this idea of reptilians, and according to the Carla Ruckert material, there is certain UFOs, or there's a certain group of aliens from the Orion system, and the majority of them are service to self. But there is a group that's not service to self. And I haven't extensively talked to Michael, so I hope he doesn't mind me asking him. When you found yourself in a scaly suit, did the other beings there have scales?
No, there was only me. It was a pink outfit on a female, mm-hmm. oval-shaped face. Hair was raised up and kind of twisted into looking like a water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And my skin was kind of golden yellow, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know that the outfit I was wearing was not my skin.
Mm-hmm.
It was tight, much like you would say a girl's outfit today. A lot of them are, mm-hmm. are full length and tight.
Mm-hmm.
They fill your form very nice and hold you in place. And that was what it was, basically. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like a reptile or nothing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't. There was no one else, though, in the craft. I was human, like an Oriental, and slender.
All right. And at some point, you had some incredible experiences where people you were associated with had absolutely miraculous healings. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
When was the first time you had? When was the first time you had that experience?
Here in this physical plane, the first time was with my grandmother, who was a member of the what do you call that? It was like being a Templar, but they have another word. One of those outfits that does the all those. Magical type things, you know, that they pray and do things like that. But there was a section of it that was kind of gifted in the heart and kind of like a Jesuit. It was Catholic, like, you know, like they had St. Francis of Assisi and things like that, Father Pio and such. And they would teach us in our sleep or in our waking time. We didn't have any problem with that. Nobody ever said you're not supposed to see these things, you know, because in our belief, that's where you are descended from the Hopi as well as the Portuguese. We experienced these things, and we didn't have any fears. My aunt, who had passed on, I could see her in her pink outfit sitting on the windowsill, and that always pleased me to see her. My mother passed away, and she came back in 1996 to tell me not to take golden seal and echinacea together because they don't go well. And she was wearing one of those French nun outfits, like the flying nun, you know, wing spread type. And I was surprised because she was standing 3 feet above the floor floating. And wherever she looked, her body turned. And she looked at my little room, and she was pleased. And then when I put everything back in the bottle and she had chosen the golden seal rather than the echinacea, and she just smiled and disappeared. So it's kind of those type of things, you know.
Go back to your grandmother. What happened with your grandmother?
We used to walk every night. And every night, as I lived with her, as my mother had cancer, and she would be away at the doctor's for a long time. And so my grandmother raised my sister and myself, and she would walk with me and tell me about life in general when I asked questions. I got to see the first 3 moons of Saturn and also the rings and the silver cylinder that was in the circle. And I could see it in wherever I was. It looked very huge, like larger than a full moon, but like the August moon. It's like huge and it dwarfs everything. You know, makes it like the reverse, like you're on the moon and the Saturn is the Earth as relating, you know. I would ask her questions about what's that little silver moon-like thing, and she would tell me.
Wait a second. I just want to clarify. Your grandmother was in a body, correct?
Yes.
And you were seeing things around her that were phenomenal, and she was seeing the same things, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And she, what was wrong with her? What was her physical disability?
My grandmother?
Yeah.
She worked, but although she worked and did the cooking and such for everyone, She had some sort of condition because I could tell it was she would be doing herbs and herbals, and she would describe them to me and say, this one is good for this and this one is good for that. And like my mother, she would go over and eat the honeybee or eat the pomegranate, you know, and things like that. And their view was it was good. The garlic was totally good for the same exact reason the other two were. And it had to do with the cancer. Inevitably, my mother succumbed to it, but not without teaching me sufficient to help me have an interest in it.
So your mother was into herbs and alternative healing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want you to get back. Did your grandmother have cancer?
No. She had some of the problem
You don't know what the problem was, but she had a problem.
It had to be a dietary problem, you know, that certain things would cause pains in the abdominal region. She would know what herb or what tea to give you. Certain other things would cause a problem in, say, migraines and such, and she would give you some other type of herb and so on. I was always ordering pills or leaves from Mexico, and because they have them there, and we don't have them over here.
But listen, I want to talk to you not about herbs right now, although I know there's a lot about herbs and alternative things. what did you do to cause a shift in your grandmother? Okay.
Well, I had a natural healing ability. Like they would say, put your hand here, it makes me feel more comfortable. And they would be on a chair sitting next to me. There were times when...
Now, when you say they, wait, when you say they, do you mean spirit forms were next to you?
There were spirit forms that come through, and they have physical body like yourself. The way I
now,
see them...
Now, did the other person see them, or was it just you?
Well, in my grandmother's case, she could see him.
Okay.
You know, some other people couldn't see him, anything. They might feel something, you know.
All right. And so you would put your hands on your grandmother, and something shifted for her, and something released. Right?
Yes.
Now, as I recall, a long time ago, by the way, is this the first time you've ever talked about this publicly?
A way, yes. I tried to talk with others, but most people just pushed it away because they weren't ready for it. And
right.
It made life kind of lonely.
Yeah. Let me ask you, I recall that you had some really extraordinary person that you worked with that had an absolute miracle. And I remember you emailed me about that, but I don't remember the circumstances right now. And can you remind me, or can you let people hear that thing that happened?
Well, there were actually several dozen or more people that had experiences around me, and some as a result of, for example, my adopted daughter and my ex-wife were pushed away from the curb. They got the smell of apple blossoms, which was my mother's perfume. And a car turning the corner would have hit them and run over both of them. But it didn't because they were pushed back. And the only thing my ex-wife could say was there was a very strong apple blossom perfume in the air. There was also a question in the Navy. When during the midday we were supposed to move this 500-pound motor that was a pump as well that we used in the engine room, and two first-class petty officers and myself were trying to get it over to the edge of the flight deck, and we had to wait for the crane to come back up from whatever it was doing down there, and it released. And whenever it released, we weren't expecting it, but it had to be heavy as we felt the ship's tilt. And when it tilted, that motor came flying over where I had just jumped down. And there's a catwalk there, so when it came over, my hand whipped out, caught it an inch away from the fuel pumps, and the first class officer that was jumping down to help me out was amazed because I was holding it above the fuel pumps in one hand, and the crane operator saw everything, and he readily pulled up the crane cable, three flights, flung it over, and then down. And Madam Morris, the one that had jumped down beside me, grabbed it, put it in the hook device, and they lifted it off. During that time, I remember I was seeing through the seventh chakra in a foot above my head, 360 degrees spherically, and everything seems so ultra bright, and I knew everyone was looking.
By the way, how heavy was that motor? Would you say
500 pounds?
500 pounds, and you were able to hold it up with one hand and keep it from hitting the fuel lines, right?
Yes, it was. To me, it was not the weight of 500 pounds. It was like I'm holding my hand out and just held it without thinking about anything. But being amazed at the brilliance of everything as I looked, and one thought hit me that I could see 360 degrees without thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there have been other times. There's a time when I experienced, and I was down in the Caribbean aboard ship, and I had been up in competition with another first-class petty officer as to which one of us would cave under first. And we were kept awake, both by the watch that we stood in the engine room and the working parties that we had to handle, and that all the time that we spent awake gave us only 15 minutes at night just before watch and 15 minutes after watch in order to say, well, I got some sort of sleep, but not really. I would take a shower, go lay down, and no sooner did I hit the pillow, and I would hear reveille, reveille, and I would be awake. And this, by Wednesday, the third day, he went into a coma. I, on the other hand, experienced an unusual event in which I was about to lay my head down on the pillow, and instead, I was going in through space beyond the spectrum of light through this deep bluish purple darkness where only an occasional sparkle of bright energy would be, you know, let's say if you touch two hot wires together for a second, you would see a little spark. But these were big sparks compared to what I was. But I could feel myself not in physical form, but in an energy form. And I arrived in the center of love where I was restored. And at the same time, I felt so good there. I didn't want to come back. And I was informed by a mental voice that permeated my being and said, this is okay for now, but you have to go back. You volunteered, and you're going to have to achieve what you volunteered for before you can stay. So,
Michael, I want to go back. You know, we're going to run out of time, and I want you to share the story of this amazing healing that happened around you. And you're sharing some amazing stories, but you haven't gotten to that.
Oh,
can you share?
I'm trying to think of which one, though, because there's been people that have healed from cancer after doing a session over a meal, 2 minutes, and I would do an affirmational request to the source, and after 3 sessions over the period of a week, that person lost their cancer right down to the DNA. And it's been alive well into 15 years. And at the time, she was wanting to be alive for her children. And that was one very, very good thing. Every time I require her, she always is just Johnny on the spot. without my having called her. And then there's a particular doctor that was a spinal surgeon, and on the way to the airport, I asked him to just visualize on a pink spiral of energy spinning, and I repainted that particular of his spine, and I told him all the things that were wrong with it, and then painted a layer over that as refined as I could, and told him by tomorrow he would no longer have that problem. And it, indeed, a month later, he asked me all kind of questions. And then he said to me, I'm sorry, I spent $72,000 and I wasted my money because I can't do what you do. I didn't tell him. I don't really do it. It's just get this field and this information flows in, and I do what the information is, because there's others on the other side that help with the request.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Terry, are you on? Are you unmuted? Hello, Terry. Calling Terry. You know, sometimes, you know, Terry sometimes describes experiences with people that somewhat are similar, somewhat, to what you're describing. And, you know, we never asked any questions about you, Michael. Like, I didn't get any validation of who's working through you, if it's our sources.
I call it the truth source.
But maybe, is it okay with you if I ask some questions?
Not
here on the call, but, you know, not publicly. But just to get some idea about it. Because if you have these abilities, there's a lot of people that could probably avail themselves. And I want to feel clear if I make a recommendation, okay? So
yes.
I want to make sure there's no conflict with the energies that we're working for, with.
Remember the other day you asked me if I would do it? And I said, I don't have to verbalize. I don't even have to be there. I don't even have to use a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, because as I set in motion the energies that request of the true source, I worked the true source response through that, and the energy that flows is pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And in pure love, no illness or disease can exist.
You know what? I agree with you. It's amazing that you're doing that. Terry, are you back yet? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have any questions for Michael?
I liked what you said the other day when we were talking about the energy beings from the other side were working with him, like working hands in his heart, and then putting a model over his. A heart of a perfect working heart for his heart to remodel itself after. And
you're talking about Conrad
Michael,
now, right?
Yeah, and then Michael, you made some a comment about that, right?
Yes.
Is that similar to something that when you said you painted over the area on that gentleman? Is that something similar to what you would do?
Yes. The other thing is that there are doctors and such ready to work on someone and help them to recover. So a lot of times we as the patient would block it because we'd feel it's weird. at this point, maybe even refuse it any further. And then don't bring it up again.
yes.
I've seen their hands. I've seen, I've even been shaken awake by, and not been off the road because of their watchfulness over me. I mean, they literally take over my vehicle for a period of time just to give me the rest from one exit to another. So miracles are plentiful. I just, on Mother's Day, went through a period of walking a vigil out at the church that's being torn down. And I took photos of it. It was my camera. And, of course, I got out with the two angels in front of the archway. And one of those particular angels was late. You could see one run over to the section where he was going to stand. And the other one appeared on the next click of the shutter, along with sitting on top of the crane, and much like we would sit on a horse. And you could see the halos around their head. And I believe I sent them over to you.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Michael, you know what? We're reaching the end of our time. 6:56. We probably have 1 or 2 minutes. And let me bring back the call to the center of our call. This is a very unusual call for a Monday night. And Michael has been attending our calls for a couple years now. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
And I assume you're attending because you feel the energies on the call, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel it. They'll play with my head like a gust of wind, like I would cuss with the child on the head in a loving way, you know?
Right, right. So I'm going to be exploring this stuff with Michael a little more, and perhaps he will be someone that can help us work with some of you on the call. But I want to explore a little more. You know, I'm very protective of the energies on the call, and I can feel Michael is very sincere, and he probably people don't know that he has these gifts. And so I'm going to explore it to see if this is a good venue. We can maybe experiment on a couple people and see what happens and if it's comfortable for everybody. And I'll do a session with Terry to ask about it, to see if we get an okay from our sources. And what I'd like to do is just take a small moment and bring in the energies that we've become familiar with on this call. And shut your eyes. And we bring the energy in from those positive sources only that exist in the higher dimensions. We can't see them. But when I do that, some of you can feel an energy around the top of your head. And move this through your body. And we will take this moment and use our group intention so that each of you might ask silently for the highest good of what you really need in your life right now. And the universe, the synchronicities, might attract that to you. And we ask that we have a planetary healing for our entire planet with our group intention. And on that note, I'm going to end this call. And I thank Michael so much for sharing with us. And I thank BBS for letting us run over. We're not actually over. It's 6:59. So we have 1 minute, but we're usually supposed to end at 6:55. Okay? And I'm unmuting everybody. Everyone's unmuted.
Hey, thanks, Michael. That was great. I enjoyed it.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that was great, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Wade. Michael, Harry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. That was the end of the recording. I will open up the lines over here in this now. It was pretty interesting. And next, we will go to the whole Planet Healing conference call. Thank you.
Unmuted.